We're here at the Grassroots Radio Conference, and we're talking with Angela Morano and Helena Kosorik, and they brought with them to this conference the Depleted Uranium Media Campaign. Angela, can you explain exactly what depleted uranium is and how it's being used by the U.S. military?
Depleted uranium, or DU as they call it, is actually a product of the nuclear industry. What has happened is that it's being used as in weapons, and it's radioactive, and it has also been used as armor plating. It is very dense, it is twice as dense as lead, so it makes it a very effective weapon. And also, it is rather inexpensive for the Department of Energy to get a hold of because it's very available from the nuclear industry. And what we have to realize is that I don't think people are really aware that we are using nuclear weapons right now in our wars. It has been used in Yugoslavia, in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, and in both of the Iraq wars.
And they're using this depleted uranium, am I correct, on the tips of missiles?
It's not just a coating on the tips. It's an actual dense projectile that is part of the missile itself. And because it's so dense, it can penetrate very deeply. The other part of it that's very effective is that it has this pyrophoric quality. So what happens is when it enters into a vehicle or into bunkers, when it bores down, it actually ignites and becomes radioactive dust at that point, and it incinerates is the main quality of this weapon, the way that it has been used. On armor plating, on tanks, because it's so dense, what happens is it makes it a good protective agent against other fire coming in. The unfortunate thing about all of this is that even some of our own tanks have been hit by our own missiles. So what happens with the material itself is as it is deployed, it starts immediately to spew radioactive dust particles. It has a very low burning point. So what you have now is a lot of radioactive dust particles in the sand, in the tanks themselves that have been exploded, and in the area, which now can be ingested, it can be inhaled, it can be absorbed into the plants, it can be absorbed by the animals and the food chain. So when you realize the scope of what we have done here, the magnitude is enormous.
So what is the advantage? Why is the government using it? Because it's so durable? Because it's so penetrating?
It's so penetrating, and because it's so available also. I mean, you have to realize the nuclear industry, what are they going to do with it? Well, send it to Yucca Mountain? I mean, you know, we have to be realistic here. And the unfortunate thing is that the government themselves has done studies that show that the material is dangerous. But what has happened is it seems that there is a Colonel Wakayama. There is this Dr. Azov Durakovich. Those are only two. But as soon as they started to publicize the dangers, they actually lost their jobs.
And they both used to work for the Pentagon?
Yes.
How long has the Pentagon been using this depleted uranium?
As far as we know, at least, they used it in Bosnia, as I said, in Afghanistan, in Yugoslavia, and in Iraq.
So less than 15 years, say?
Possibly, yes, as far as I know.
They weren't using it during the Vietnam era?
No.
So the evidence was there that this was deadly and dangerous, and these scientists from the Pentagon knew it, and they lost their jobs. because
they were asked to stop publicizing in their reports is basically what happened. What we have now is a situation where even the troops themselves don't really realize when they're going into the areas that this weapon is being used. Areas that are now contaminated. For instance, the Daily News had to pay because the government doesn't test correctly, which is the other thing. So the Daily News paid for the testing of a number of vets, the 442 that came back. And just in last year, they found out that Dr. Durakovich actually did the testing on them, and they were found to be contaminated with depleted uranium.
And the Daily News paid for the soldiers to be tested by Dr.
The proper testing, yes.
That was a Juan Gonzalez story.
Yes, right, exactly. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that they did not know. They were in Samawa, in Iraq, and they were there for from April until September. But the place that they were sitting in was completely contaminated, and the Dutch had gone in before we went there with our troops and had tested the area and refused to put their troops there. Now, last week, or whenever it was, July 19th, there was a hearing in Congress, and in fact, Ray Ramos, one of the sergeants from Samoa and one of the vets from the Daily News articles, went to testify to this fact. And when he came back, he's sick. Many of the other vets are sick. One of them has had a child that has deformities that are now rising in scope over in Iraq, children being born with deformities, leukemias, people getting sick like they've never had before.
So it's fair to say that the Pentagon knew how harmful this stuff was and continue to push along with using it, and they know today how harmful it is, and they still continue to use it.
Yes, we have a memo. It's called the Los Alamos memo. You can actually Google it and look it up on your computer. And basically what it says is, we have to garner the proponency of these weapons. So be careful when you write up your reports, you know. So basically that's what it says.
Now, you and Helena have started this depleted uranium media campaign.
Well, yes. There's a number of us right now. There's a coalition in the Northeast area that have gotten together on this issue.
And you brought with you here to the Grassroots Radio Conference this exhibit, mm-hmm. which consists of some news articles.
We have news articles from the New York Daily News, Vanity Fair, December 2004, did an incredible article, Weapons of Self-Destruction. You know, 1994, Life Magazine actually did an article, The Tiny Victims of Desert Storm. So we have put together, we've assembled a whole display of articles, memos, Pentagon papers, reports, as well as photographs taken by Takashi Morizumi, a Japanese photographer who has gone over to Iraq several times to the hospital in Basra. And he has taken many photographs of the children there and the people over there. And not only that, I mean, we have a photograph there of a woman holding the weapons, because a lot of these tips are all over the sand over there. They're still all over the place.
And radioactive.
And they're radioactive. In fact, there's a movie, The Invisible War, in which one of the scientists from Germany had gone over, inadvertently found these, whatever you want to call them, bullets, whatever he thought they were, brought them back over to Germany, and was arrested for carrying hazardous radioactive material. However, that material disappeared once they took it from him. He spent 3 months in jail. Okay. So these are stories that are never told here. These are stories that are never gotten out into the news. That's why we now have a coalition to try and really bring this information to the surface.
Helena, why aren't we hearing about this in the mainstream press? You don't see it on CBS, ABC, NBC.
No, in fact, I heard about depleted uranium when I was listening to shortwave, and I found that my whole course of my course in life has changed. I was on my way to be a teacher, and in examining what the United States was doing, I decided to get involved in media reform. So there is a group of us that have decided that media reform is best enacted when it is working on an issue. And we feel that the DU media campaign has two components. One is that people don't know what DU means. So we have to not only say what depleted uranium is, but we also have to tell them that this is not, in any sense of the word, a depleted radioactive substance. Secondly, when we tell them that, and they find out that the United States has been using weapons and protection for their fighting Bradley machines and tanks or helicopters, that the troops have been put in a toxic situation, the people of that country that were in it put in a toxic situation, and the troops' families. But the important thing is, this is not a partisan issue. This is not about peace. This is not about war. This is not about democracy and freedom. When the American public realizes that this has been kept a secret, a great lie will be exposed. If the American people are incensed, then there will be awakening in America, awakening that has been long overdue. It has been long overdue because media does not address this issue. And luckily, we're at the Grassroots Radio Conference here in Northampton, Massachusetts. And we came here because we knew we could roll out a call for Americans to address to their congressmen the need to have a congressional briefing on depleted uranium to get to the bottom of this. If Congress is going to put this off until February 2006, the people, we are hoping, once they're informed, will say, we need to know, and we need to do something now.
Do we have any idea the numbers of American soldiers or Iraqi civilians or people in Bosnia that have been sickened by depleted uranium?
Angela, do you have an answer for that?
Well, it's interesting. I have here from Arthur Burnclow. He's the executive director of the Veterans for Constitutional War in New York. And in February 2004, he stated that out of the 580,000 soldiers who served in Gulf War I, 11,000 are now dead. And by the year 2000, there were 325,000 on permanent medical disability. And this number, it's interesting, is a decade later, is 56% of those soldiers who served have some kind of form of permanent medical problems. Now, the disability rate for the wars of the last century were 5% World War II and 10% in Vietnam.
And now it's well over 50.
Now it's well over 56, and that's in the year 2000 we're talking about. So what the numbers are now, we're not really clear about this. First of all, we're not clear about this because there's no one tracking, really keeping registry of this, and this is the problem that we are asking. These are some of the concerns that we want to bring before the Congress at the briefing. We need to have a clear tracking record, clear registry. We have to understand where these weapons were actually used and what ammunition they used. You know, obviously, they're going to say, well, some of this are sensitive issues. But the point of fact, when soldiers are dying, when people and the rates of cancers and leukemias are rising in Iraq, and the other aspect of this is that it's not only the weapon themselves that we are using now, I mean, for years, and that's why it goes back, actually, before the Gulf War, because for years we have been manufacturing and testing these weapons as well. And those areas, upstate New York is a perfect example. NL Industries, right in Albany, New York, was a manufacturing plant. The neighbors around that area have, for the last 25 years, been fighting to get health benefits, to get cleanup. They have now, the Army Corps of Engineers has now started to clean up that particular area that was contaminated with depleted uranium.
From the manufacturing of
the
missiles.
Not only was the area itself contaminated, it went into the water systems. Not only did it go into the water systems, it went into the air, because when they had leftover particles and leftover material, they would put it into their chimneys, literally into their burn facilities. So this stuff was spewing all over the place. Professor Dietz, one of the men who was responsible for closing that plant at that time, put filters all over the areas and up to 25 miles away. So he was able to capture particles, radioactive particles. He said probably if he would have put them further, it depends which way the wind blows. Now, saying that, it's important to realize there are sandstorms in Iraq. We have atmospheric wind conditions, you know, in our planet. We are not immune to what happens over there, right? We are a closed system. It's a small planet. So we are all going to reap what we sow.
Helena, what can the listeners do to take part, to take action, to make a difference, to get involved?
That's a good question. I think that's why we're here for media reform. I think we have to realize that when we're watching television, we're watching a very meted out system of information. The most important information that we need to actually keep our democracy and to remain free as a country is not to start a war, but to protect our right to speak to one another, to tell each other the truth. I think as Americans face the truth and start to look at depleted uranium, no matter how awesome and horrible it seems, then we'll be taking a step forward.
Is there a website that they can visit, somewhere to go on the internet?
Yes, actually, a very good website to start with is Trap Rock Peace.
Trap Rock Peace?
Yes.
And some of these photos that you have brought with you are quite disturbing and pretty difficult to look at. Are they posted somewhere on an internet site?
Well, actually, if you go into it's traprockpeace.org.
Is that anyway. T-R-A-P rock?
R-O-C-K-P-E-A-C-E.
Okay.
.org. Yes, and there are many links that, you know, people will be able to get information, find the photos, see what's going on. There are international organizations that are connected with this organization as well, because there are people all over the world that are actually aware of this issue. There are soldiers in other areas and parts of the world that are also being affected by this.
And Congress has a hearing slated for February?
No.
No.
We are requesting to have a briefing in Congress.
Okay.
Would
it be in the House?
In the House.
In the House.
And our Congressman Hinchey from New York, uh-huh, is one of the Congress people that has agreed to sponsor this hearing. It's not a hearing, it's a briefing.
A briefing.
Briefing, which is a little different. We'd like the vets to be able to go and express their concerns, their issues, what they have found out to be a problem with their health issues. We'd like scientists. We have a number of scientists that are working on this issue that have been working with NL, with the neighbors from Albany, with the vets from New York. So there are a number of scientists that have actually contacted us and that are willing and more than anxious to go and give their reports.
What does it take to get a briefing? Is it take a resolution to pass? How does it work?
No, it takes a lot of people, actually, a lot of citizens, and that's why this is very important nationwide. It takes a lot of people to get to know about the issue, to get incensed enough to call up their congressman, congresswoman, and let them know that they are concerned about this and that they want them to go to this briefing when it happens.
And it's going to be hopefully in the House of Representatives.
Right.
So they should call their representative in the House or
right.
email them and let them know.
That's right.
That
and continuously.
Also, their officials that may be running for office.
That's right.
The reason that I said February is that with upcoming elections, they may put it off. And that has been mentioned. How many years can you put off this issue?
How can we get mainstream media to cover the issue?
You notice the silence on that? Yeah.
And how do we put pressure on them? In the same way? Email?
I don't think you're going to get it from...
Letters?
Mainstream media is really co-opted by...
I think that's...
industry and
yeah.
corporate.
I think that's a difficult one.
I feel that radio stations are the key to this whole thing. If radio stations can put out, if we can connect with all the radio stations that we possibly can and say, we're ready for people to ask for a congressional briefing, we do this with every radio station we possibly can through the United States. Radio is the only way to reach Americans. It seems to be the only way left. And if we can call on the people to go to their congressmen, they can apply the pressure. So I see radio as the only medium.
Now, you know, the interesting thing about this is that the importance of grassroots radio is enormous to this particular issue. And we have to be aware of this. And if people would even call up their local stations, their public stations, because even the public stations are not covering this issue the way they should. We have asked Democracy Now! To do stories, and I know they have done some, you know, but they also have been really flagrant at addressing this problem. We have our own radio station where we are, public radio station, and they finally did do a segment with us because, obviously, they were right connected with the Colony NL industry site that was practically sitting right next to them, you know. So we do have to get to the grassroots radio stations as well.
And what's next for YouTube with this media campaign? Where are you going next? Are you on tour? Do you have a schedule? Are you in different cities?
Actually, we're going to have an event in New Paltz on August 20th.
In where?
In New Paltz, New York. And it will be held at the New Paltz Village Hall. It's Saturday, August 20th. And at that event, there'll be educational films on depleted uranium. There will be speakers. One of them is it Melissa?
Melissa Sterry. She actually is a vet who is sick.
And someone that has been investigating NL Industries for 20 years, Tom Ellis. We'll have a speaker from Military Families Speak Out. We're hoping to have military families from Long Island and Staten Island come up to Mid-State, New Paltz, and then vets from Pennsylvania. At that time, we'll also have a planning session in the afternoon for everyone to get together and to continue to spread this web. Just in a few calls the other day, I was able to reach radio producers, or at least one in Long Island, that knew 39 other producers that could work with him. So it's through the network of radio, getting the calls, the call letters, getting the contacts for the stations, inviting them to events.
It almost feels like this is a personal one-to-one battle at this point, to try and connect with people who understand the problem of breaking through the media and getting support.
Well, Angela and Helena, thanks for talking with us, and thanks for your commitment to working to educate the public on this issue of depleted uranium and the government's deception. Best wishes in getting the word out. We'll do whatever we can do to get as many people aware as we possibly can.
We thank you really for the opportunity of having this interview, getting the information, and understand how difficult it is sometimes for people when, you know, they want to be patriotic, they want to be loyal, and it is very difficult to actually absorb the magnitude of something like this, you know, the effects of something like this.
Thank you.